The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. Hi, Christina.
Hi, Father.
Here we go.
Here we are.
This is a special day. Do you know what this day is?
Yes, I know what it is.
What is this day?
It's the 10th anniversary of the unveiling of the monstrance, Our Lady of the Sign Ark of Mercy.
The Ardite with the, we 10 years ago today, on the feast of the Visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Today is a feast, the 31st. Hard to believe it's the end of, first of all, it's the end of May. The last day of May.
The last day of May.
I keep thinking we're just coming into May. But in any case, it's hard to believe 10 years ago that we unveiled the iconic monstrance, Our Lady of the Sign, the Ark of Mercy, which is the why of our church being open. And it's been since that day that our church has been open 24/7. So the church has been open day and night for 10 years. Hard to believe. So I want to, maybe we'll talk a little bit about that today. And as always, we're running into the studio, coming from our offices, you know, working diligently all morning, putting out fires and taking care of people and their problems and all that, right?
Yes.
So it's amazing, you know. You sit there and you want to have life lived in a certain ordered way with certain harmony and perfect peace and not, right? It just doesn't work that way.
That's not, somebody just told me, you know, that's normal. I'm like, that's not abnormal. That's not normal.
It's not my norm.
It's abnormal. We're not created to be that way.
To be what way?
To be at each other's throats.
Oh, that, yeah, no, no.
Not us, you know, not you and I, but I'm saying like in general.
Yeah.
That's not how God created us to be.
So I was just, I was
horrible.
You're right. I was thinking about it from another perspective, that it's not normal to have this perfect order, perfect harmony, perfect peace. But that's what we're destined for. That.
That's how,
you know,
God.
So it should
it
be.
Was meant that,
it was
to
meant
be
to be
that way.
And so, how would it be? How could we make that? How can you make that happen? Because I suspect that, as I'm speaking, you're speaking, from our own experience, and we do this every time. Every time we come into the radio, we're coming from the chaos. It seems to me, and it's not that it's always, because, you know, thank God, we get a respite. We get a little bit of a rest from it all. We have to pull back. The problem is we keep getting dragged back into the into the chaos.
Sure.
So how do we resolve that? How do we what's the remedy for, okay, let's say, what's the remedy for the stress? You know, this is a big word that you hear every day.
Sure.
Right? People are stressed out. People are, you know, just they're on the precipice, you know. Mm-hmm. they're at wit's end. So often it seems,
sure,
certainly the people we meet every day, but so what's the remedy to that? How do you resolve that issue?
We have to return to God. We have to leave that on the side. That's why, again, the importance of having the church open 24/7 to come away from the noise, the stress, and to reconnect with our Lord and to recharge, because it's very challenging to be out there in the world. We're not of this world. We're here, but we're not of this world.
Okay, so you've answered the two. These are the two very important points.
And we have to humble ourselves, because I fight it.
Okay, third important point.
You know? I fight it all the time, but I said, this is not who you created me to be.
Yeah.
I want to be like you, Lord.
Yeah. And to do that, you've got to come away from the noise.
Yes.
And that's the That's basically the call, because everything we're doing here, and I've been reflecting on this, because here we are, this is the 10th anniversary of the unveiling, and that was a big event, because we had EWTN, it was broadcast all over the world. I don't know if you recall that, but it was a major, major event, mm-hmm. because we were responding to a call. We really felt we had been, and this had been going on for nearly 10 years, almost 10 years prior to the opening of the doors. We can go back and revisit all this, because I think it's important to remind ourselves where we've come from and how we got where we are and where are we. Because on one hand, if we speak about the opening of the, or the unveiling, so what am I talking about when I speak about the unveiling of the monstrance? We have here at the parish what would be considered the world's largest monstrance. Now, a monstrance, for those who don't know what a monstrance is the monstrance means to show forth. Mm-hmm. And a monstrance shows forth. It's a religious, what would you call it? I don't want to say it's a, because the icon is in the monstrance. We're showing forth, basically what it does is it contains, mm-hmm. it holds within itself what is at the heart of certainly Catholic mm-hmm. spirituality, Catholic worship, and that is the Holy Eucharist, the sacred body and blood of Jesus Christ, the hidden manna. When we speak of the sacred mystery, sacred mysteries, the sacred liturgy, the divine liturgy, the Holy Mass, it's where, as we've believed from the very beginning, this is our profession of faith, is that Jesus comes to us in a mysterious, hidden way under the guise of bread and wine, so that he promised that he would remain with us. I mean, it's very, God is Emmanuel, which means God with us, Jesus, Emmanuel. And the night before he died, after he instituted the Holy Eucharist, he said to the disciples, and he says in his farewell discourse, I'm not speaking only to you, but all those who believe on your word. We're part of this apostolic tradition, this living tradition. So he said that it's better that I go, that I remain with you. And how does he remain with us? He had just instituted the Holy Eucharist so that he would be with us in the breaking of the bread in the Eucharist. He would be with us to feed us with his body and blood, that we not collapse as we go on our way, and that we not only give witness to his presence in the world, his light in this darkness, his peace in chaos, but that he would, if we would be properly disposed, he would reproduce his life in us, so that, as you said, you know, this chaos, mm-hmm. this stress, it shouldn't be, or that the worst comes out of us.
Yeah, like animals, like worse than animals.
Be careful when you say that, because you know what happened when the president called the MS-13 animals, and rightfully so. I mean, what we were doing is animalistic, but anyway, yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's just that God created us with love, and that's how it should be, but unfortunately, it's,
well, see,
it's not, but again, that's not normal not to be.
Yeah, this is abnormal. What we see happen, I think, we speak about this a lot, but I think what we see happening in the society mm-hmm. today, you know, you can talk about some of the extreme tragedies like the shootings in the schools, sure. or the, but it's just that people seem so, on the surface, things seem okay, but when you sit down and you talk to somebody, or as we know, people come here, they come because their lives have been shattered, mm-hmm. in a wide variety of ways, and it shouldn't be. And the bottom line is, the problem is, and this is the why of the sanctuary, the reason for the call, you know, to open the doors. For what reason? But that the cacophony of the world, that is, the noise, the rude noise of the world, not shout into silence the voice of the living God, you know, so that we can come away. It'll be a place of refuge, a sanctuary, a place of respite, rest, where people can encounter God or be encountered by God. Mm-hmm. You know, I spoke to a woman this morning, so it was quite interesting because she had come to the church during the Mass, the first time I ever saw her, mm-hmm. and I saw her today for the second time, and she came, and as I was speaking or delivering her the homily after the gospel, she got up and she left, mm-hmm. and she left in a very quick way, and she was right in the front, right, maybe in the third row, and so I today I meet her for the first time, mm-hmm. actually meet her.
I saw her.
Yeah. Okay. And I said, oh, you know, this happened over a month ago, mm-hmm. and I said, why did you leave the church? I said, I saw you you came to the church. It was maybe 2 months ago. I don't mm-hmm. remember. I think it seems like two, maybe even more than that. And she said, I was overwhelmed. She said, I was overwhelmed. I think she was surprised that I recall or remember, mm-hmm. recognized her. And she said, yeah, I was overwhelmed. She said, I'm a Catholic, but I haven't been in the church for forever. And she said, I was just overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed. And she said, it was almost too much, too overwhelmed. And she said, not in a bad sense, in a good sense, but I didn't know what to do with that. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was interesting. Because I think the first of all the fact that the doors are open and this is the 10th year, but the call goes back nearly 20 years. Yeah. And when I speak about the call, what I'm speaking about was that we went through a time here when I was in the process of consecrating my life to the Blessed Virgin Mary. I had been, not 25 years a priest, but I think I was going on nearly 20 years. No, it was about 15 years as a priest. And I thought, you know, because it was 1999, so I was ordained in 1984, so I guess it's 15 years or 16 years, whatever. 15 years, I guess. And so I wanted to, I felt like I was at a point in my priesthood where I felt that I needed to consecrate or reconsecrate or somehow deepen mm-hmm. my priestly life, try to understand a little bit more how God is working in me or through me. And, you know, we're faced with all kinds of challenges. And so I decided, you know, I would use St. Louis de Montfort, his 30-day preparation for the consecration of one's life to the Blessed Virgin. It's really a consecration to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so while I was about midway into the consecration, yeah, I just shared this story not too long ago, but I was in the chapel. We were just, the church was, as you remember, you were here.
Yes.
The church was falling apart.
Yes.
I don't mean spiritually, because we had
the devotions.
We had the devotions, the novenas. We had
the
a lot of people. We still had the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And when I say we still had the neighborhood, we had a very vibrant mm-hmm. worshiping community who lived in the neighborhood. We had street processions. You remember, we had all yes. kinds of things. When we did a novena, we would have a full church for
sure.
the full 9 days.
Yes.
We would do a retreat day. We would fill up the entire cafeteria, the mm-hmm. the gym. And then overnight, all that changed because the place was being gentrified, the neighborhood, mm-hmm. and our people were priced out of the neighborhood. It seemed like it happened overnight.
Yes.
Buildings were sold, they were bought out, and people had to leave immediately as mm-hmm. they began the renovation, or the renovation of the buildings, or buildings were raised, and new buildings were built up, and the people, and property taxes were skyrocketing.
Yes.
People could no longer be in the neighborhood. So we lost in essence, we lost our neighborhood overnight, and the church suffered a lot because of that. Mm-hmm. People still came, mm-hmm. but they came from a distance, and so there wasn't the ability to be as committed, as consistent,
yeah.
you know. And then they're having, and it was a young community, so they're having children, and yeah. you know, and that. But so we have a neighborhood, but it's just like it's mission territory, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like we gotta, you know, evangelize or somehow. How do you bring people to the faith when they seem to not want? They don't like. There seems to be, and I hear this from so many people. And I hear it from other priests that the people are either indifferent.
Uh-huh.
Or there's even a hostility
yeah.
to the faith, complete ignorance in many ways.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I think it's an indifference. And so how do you try to inspire? How do you try to give to something, to give to someone something they don't even, it's not even in their mind to even think about? I find that kind of odd. But anyway, that's our reality, right?
Reality.
And so
it makes me think of, unfortunately, you know, you don't know what we have until
we lose it.
Sometimes that it's necessary for people to wake up, yet others will never wake up. But it makes me think of like the Crusades in Mexico when they had the Cristeros where the government was not allowing the people to practice the faith. They closed the church and the churches, and people were martyred, so many martyrs.
Right.
My grandmother would tell us stories when she was little that they would go to church, receive the sacraments underground because it wasn't allowed.
Right, right.
And that's when people started waking up and, you know, we have to fight back. And
what's it going to take to make people wake up? I tell you what happens is, and this is why, while we seemingly lost a community, I mean, our neighborhood was gone. They're still here. I mean, they come back again, but we don't have the numbers.
Yes.
Because our people have moved even beyond Chicago. They've moved to Texas. They've moved to Michigan, to mm-hmm. Indiana, to Elgin.
Wisconsin.
But we do have, but those who are in the Chicagoland area still come back, thank God. Otherwise, sure. we wouldn't. If we had to depend on the neighborhood itself, it would be a disaster
yes.
for the parish. But in any case, having the door open, mm-hmm. and see, often people will come back and they'll say, or they'll come in, just to take a look, or mm-hmm. like this woman I was speaking about who came and she was overwhelmed. But people come and they. Some people come and they have, as you know, you've talked to many people who didn't know why, but they just felt compelled
yes.
to come into the church.
Something drew them.
The Spirit drew them in.
Yeah.
And it precipitated a conversion mm-hmm. of life. It was a healing experience or the draining of all the garbage in their mm-hmm. life mm-hmm. And being filled with, it's like this light kind of came into their own
sure.
darkness, maybe a darkness they didn't yeah. even perceive, right?
Or an encounter with God who is true love. You know, people are in search, they want to be loved, and humans, nobody's perfect. So we disappoint each other, but God will never. And I'm thinking of just one particular story where she came in. She was going through difficulty in her life, and she said she came in and some presence drew her, and she said she couldn't stop crying, and she felt overwhelmed too, but
right.
it was something that warmth, and all she could do was cry. She could not explain, but it was beautiful.
Right.
And ever since, she's never stopped coming. She keeps coming
back. It changed her life.
Yes, and people even asked her, what is it that you're doing? There's something different about you. And she said, it's Jesus.
Yeah, and this is not something we can manipulate.
No.
We can't. All we can do is create the space.
Yeah.
And this is what Our Lady asked. You know,
mm-hmm.
this is, again, going back 20 years, but when she said, during this time of where I was doing the consecration, mm-hmm. and in a moment of near despair, when we needed a lot of money to do a lot of repair, otherwise we'd lose the church, because it was 150-year-old church. The church, well, the parish is 150 years old, but the church is a little bit, maybe it's about 145 or 140, I'm not quite sure, but it's, the church was built in 1870, I think. So it's nearly 150, right? But anyway, the point is that an old church that was in dire need of repair, that was really falling apart, literally falling apart, and massive money, we're talking millions of dollars, needed to repair the church. And miraculously, that money came, but it came only after, in a moment of near despair, when I'm in the chapel, I'm midway into my consecration, and I just had to say, I can't do this. I can't do it. I had applied for grant money, and I'd done anything and everything I could do. I said, I can't do this. And I just went into prayer, as I did. It was a regular routine every day at 3 o'clock during the mercy hour. I would make my holy hour. And I think even that day, it's not that I was even asking anything. I just was at wit's end. You know, I can't do anything. This is beyond anything I can do. It's too much. And you know, we had at the time, we had a big worshiping community and a lot of needs, because the people were in the neighborhood and there were a lot of needs. And in that hour, as I just was praying, when I say praying, it's not like I was saying anything. I was just, you know, just in the presence of God, because that's prayer. People have to understand it. You know, just to put yourself in the presence of God. Just here I am. I come to do your will. I mean, Jesus says, you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to say anything. The Father knows. He knows what you need. He knows who you are. You just come and put yourself in the presence. You know, it's like being in the company of somebody you really love, somebody you really know, somebody who knows you, where you don't have to carry on a conversation. Yeah. You just be. And there's a certain peace in just being in that person's presence. And so I was just in the presence of God before the Blessed Sacrament, just there. And out of nowhere, this voice, beautiful voice, a woman's voice, and I knew, I didn't even question, didn't have to think twice. And the funny thing is, I didn't get up and it's like, oh, you know, it's like a lightning strike or something. It just seemed so natural.
Yeah.
And the woman said, give me the parish. Just give me the parish and make me mother and queen of the parish. Just like that. That's it. That's all. That's what I heard. Very clear, as much as I would hear, as clear as you would speak to me, that's what I heard. I says, okay, because I knew it was Our Lady. I knew it was the Blessed Virgin Mary. And I says, okay, I give you the parish. So I didn't go through any formal prayer of consecration, you know, consecrating the parish. I just, you know, it's like a normal conversation.
Sure.
You know, it's like somebody comes and says, hey, listen, I know you've got you've got problems, and this is beyond anything you can do. But you know, I'm here to help. I'm here to take care of this. I'm here to lift this burden off your shoulders. And that's exactly what happened. So when she said, so listen, just all right, give it to me. I take it away from you. You give it to me. Make me, just acknowledge me. Make me mother and queen of the parish. And I did. I says, I give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that. I give it to you. You're the mother of this parish. You're the queen of this parish. I give it to you. And I just felt immediately the burden just lift from my shoulders. And I didn't worry about it. I let it go. And I don't think I said anything to anybody, because it was just not a big deal. It was a big deal in a sense, but it wasn't. You know, it's part of, I think you know what it is. I think it's just and that's why I don't understand how people don't pray. I don't know that we expect, you know, lightning flashes and thunder and all that. Was it Elijah, you know, God said, you know, go and I will come, or somehow he got the message that God was going to come to him. And so he waited. He left the cave, and there was the earthquake, and God wasn't in the earthquake. Then there was the lightning and the thunder, but God wasn't to be found in the lightning or the thunder. And then there was the great wind, I believe, and God wasn't found in the wind, but it was in the whisper, in the whisper. And that's, you know, I mean, there may be as a way to wake us up,
sure,
you know, like the St. Paul experience. But when you begin to walk in faith and you begin to really pray, and by prayer, I don't mean just saying prayers, it's important, but you just learn to, you know, keep your eyes on Jesus, have your life turned toward God or lean into God, acknowledge that God has your back. We come from God, we go to God, we're wayfarers, we're on the journey, we're in the pilgrimage, but we make that journey in the company of God, and we don't look to see him, nor even to hear him, but just to acknowledge, you know, the knowledge of God is sufficient. And so, you know, we try to be obedient to the commandments. We're aware of our rough edges. The very thing we talk about as we come into the studio, right? You know, I've got, yeah, this shouldn't be. I shouldn't have this kind of an attitude today, or I shouldn't, you know, act in this way or that way or whatever. But because we have a sensitivity to God and to the things of God, we know that we need to correct our ways, and how do we do that? But we just put ourselves back in the presence of God, you know, set things right. But the point is, so that when we begin to put ourselves in this journey, in the company of God, then these epiphanies, these manifestations, don't surprise us. Mm-hmm. And so when Our Lady said, you know, give me the parish, make me mother and queen of the parish, and I did, and I let it go, and the burden was gone. And a couple of days later, I get a call that we were awarded money sufficient to begin immediately the repairs of the church. Then I knew that I couldn't but tell the people that this is something Our Lady did, that this is something that the Blessed Virgin, she said, give me the parish. And so we as a parish, we make it a joint or communal collective effort or entrustment, we as a parish entrust the parish to the Blessed Virgin and our lives as well. And so somebody said to me once, they said, well, isn't every church consecrated to the Mother of God? I said, yeah, of course, it should be, you know, but I one thing I learned is that heaven doesn't force itself on anybody. Mm-hmm. And so while every church is a sanctuary, it's when we acknowledge, it's like if you're in your home and God is there, but you don't acknowledge his presence, right? Or you relegate, let's say, the Blessed Virgin Mary to the statue or the image that is there in the church, you know?
Sure.
So you go and you say a little prayer, you light a candle, which is a beautiful thing, a good thing. But it's another thing to open your heart, mm-hmm. to be receptive, to receive, in other words, to receive, to acknowledge and receive. So as I told the students the other day, you know, as they're graduating from school, Jesus, don't keep him frozen in the pages of sacred scripture or in the pages of your catechism book. You know, open your heart and receive him into your life, and learn to walk with him, and learn to recognize his voice. You know, does that make sense?
Yes.
So we got to take a break here, but the point is, this is natural. This is normal. This godlessness, or this a repulsion, or an allergic reaction toward the right worship of God in religion, is abnormal.
It's abnormal.
This is not natural, and that's why the world seems to be sicker and sicker, and people are lonelier and lonelier, no matter how much they mask the pain that is within them. And even masking the pain is what perpetuates the problem, because then people feel all the more lonely because they feel that they're not somehow, you know, they look around and they say, well, everybody seems to be doing fine. But we know, because we're at the epicenter, mm-hmm. in a sense, when people hit rock bottom, or they come and at least they feel the freedom to say, you know, this is really what's going on in my life or in the life of my family. And so the fact that we've been called by God, by Our Lady, to give her the church, for what purpose? But for the purpose of visitation. Today's a feast of the Visitation. The Visitation that God wants to visit. He wants to encounter. He wants to abide within us if we but have the humility to open our hearts and to say, welcome in. You know, He's knocking on the door. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back and let's get your thoughts. Christine, I'm kind of rambling here.
No, Father.
All right, everybody, thanks. Thanks for being with us. Exactly, but we're not tuning out or tuning off or whatever. And Tommy might be here. I don't know. I'm not sure if he's coming or not. But anyway, we will be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
You've got your radio turned on to Winds of Change, where you can hear about your faith and hear about today's culture through the lens of Christ's teachings with Father Anthony Bush and others. Monday through Friday at noon on AM 750. Keep Winds of Change on by going to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to donate. And Winds of Change offers thanks for your donation.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change
on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So today we're celebrating the Feast of the Visitation, and also the 10th anniversary of the opening of our doors 24/7, so that people would have, so they can come day or night. And the purpose of that, and this is part of the call, is that the cacophony, I always use that word cacophony because it kind of seems to communicate what it is, the rude noise of the world not shout into silence the voice of the living God. And on one hand, you know, we were hoping, or we had talked about having a big celebration when we opened the doors, and that was 10 years after we got the call. But the call was a developing thing, so we were in this collective discernment where after we gave the parish to the mother, the Blessed Virgin, of course, all this stuff began to happen in the neighborhood where people were being priced out. So it was like all of a sudden overnight we're losing our parishioners, our neighborhood is gone. We still have a neighborhood, but it's very different, you know. It's very different. And so it's been not an easy, the last 20 years have not been easy by no means, but we've allowed ourselves to be led, you know, and God works in mysterious ways and oftentimes in a very slow way. Actually, you know, I was thinking, you know, I was talking to somebody, or maybe we were talking about it on the radio, I don't know. We were so blessed to be, I certainly was blessed to be formed under the papacy of Pope John Paul II at a very difficult time in the church. This was in the aftermath of the Second Vatican Council. Everything was just kind of upside down and just a lot of craziness. People going in all kinds of different directions. And when he was raised to the chair of Peter, you could see that you knew right away. I think we talked about this the other day on the show, because his words were, you know, don't be afraid to open your hearts to Christ. And for me, those words were Jesus really speaking in a very profound and a very deep way. And it gave me the grace and the strength to move forward in a really difficult time. That and several other, Mother Teresa, the Sacred Scripture, the Holy Eucharist, the Blessed Virgin Mary, you know, having, nurturing my life in these persons and these, in the sacraments and all that. And so for, we had 27 years, I think he was in the papacy, and it was just a beautiful time, in my opinion, for me certainly, in this time, just rebuilding and rekindling hope. Mm-hmm. He was the pilgrim pope. He went all over the world. I mean, he just generated this enthusiasm, and he had such a charism. And people, religious and non-religious people, were just magnetically drawn to him. Yes. He exuded the Christ, the light.
And a lot of vocations came during his papacy.
There were a lot of vocations.
There was this one, reading this documentary where this one of the oldest exorcists in Rome, they interviewed him, and I don't know how it came out, that he said that the demons confessed that, of course, the Blessed Mother, the devil hates her, but that she has a lot of power, or, you know, because of who she was, because she said yes and she humbled herself. And they mentioned Pope John Paul II, that they were afraid of her and him, because throughout his papacy, a lot of vocations to the priesthood.
Oh, sure.
Yes, yeah. That was one of the confessions that they made.
See, you know, the thing is, when you don't compromise, when you're steadfast and faithful, you know, in the trials and the tribulations, in the light and the dark, in the peaks and the valleys, in the good and the bad that constitute life, when you're steadfast, when you trust, when you entrust, you know, you give yourself, surrender, offer yourself. See, this is what we do when we go to Mass. This, as Catholics, we have to understand what constitutes our worship of God. What is it that happens when we enter into the mysteries of the Holy Mass, the sacred mysteries? This is the sacred mysteries, because God is there in a hidden way. But what do we do? What constitutes our proper worship of God, our being in the Mass? Why is it necessary? Because, number one, it's an expression of gratitude. We're showing gratitude that, yes, God the Father so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn but to save, that the light has come into the darkness, and it, you know, coming, assisting in Mass is a coming out of the darkness or away from the battleground, away from the stuff of the world, into sacred space, into sanctuary, into the presence of God, in gratitude for what God has done for us, that we have been redeemed, that we have cause for hope, that we have God who is the source of our peace, the cause of our joy, cause for hope, who is our strength. So we come in gratitude that we've been redeemed. But when I say redeemed, I mean not only that redemption has been wrought through the blood of the cross so that, you know, death is not the end, that we're destined to share in the infinity of God and in the wonder of God, in the marvel of God, in the goodness of God, in the perfection of God, that we're not condemned to be here forever. We who love life, and we love life because we love God, and God loves us, and so we're lovers of life. So we come in gratitude, but in that gratitude, our response is the offering, right? So in the Mass, we offer Christ. It's a perpetuation, a renewal of the Paschal mystery. Jesus offered himself on the cross for our redemption. He was the Lamb of sacrifice who lays down his life. He is the atoning sacrifice. He is the Holocaust. It's through him that we are saved. We're washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. And so in the Mass, that offering is perpetuated. It is renewed because Jesus offered his life. He laid down his life. He redeemed us. In doing so, he redeemed us, saved us from our slavery. It's a slavery to sin, to death. And yet we are still sinners. We remain sinners. And we've yet to die. You know, we're all here still, you know.
Sure.
We're not, we're still on the way. We're in the journey. And so we've yet to die. We're still sinners. And so we come so that we can be washed in the blood of the Lamb in order not to fall back into slavery, but to be in a perpetual way redeemed and lifted up so that, number one, we have the strength to persevere, to move forward to the homeland in hope, in spite of all the so much cause for pessimism when we look around and we see, especially the more and more people go away from God, the more the consequences result in disorder, violence, disunity, destruction, and death. But even in that, we don't lose our hope because we know that we've been redeemed. So we have that strength, that hope, that peace that comes in knowing that we've been identified, we've been named, we've been lifted up to who was the saint that said, you know, God became man, that man would become God. I think that's in the reading, actually, I took the reading for the Corpus Christi, which is this Sunday,
yes.
From Saint, was it Saint Justin? I'm not sure. I have to check that out. But anyway, that we should be a dignified people, a noble people, a graceful people. And so the giving of ourselves, the offering of our lives to Christ is for the purpose of Christ reproducing his life in us, so that we share in his peace, his strength, his enduring hope, his life, that we're identified, we're named, we're blessed, we're given a place in the family, we've been adopted, even as we might feel like strangers in a foreign land. The more and more the world goes away from God, the more strange we seem to be, right? In the midst of all this, as you said when we started, you know, that this isn't, the stuff that we see or experience on a day-to-day basis is not normal. It's abnormal. And yet it becomes the norm. This is this diabolical disorientation. So anyway, the call to sanctuary, to open the doors, 10 years now since we opened the doors, for this visitation that, well, we'll take a break, we'll come back, and we'll look at the visitation to maybe enflesh this a little bit more. What happened when the Blessed Virgin Mary left Nazareth after the Annunciation and went to her cousin Elizabeth in Ain Karim, is it Ain Karim, mm-hmm. Just right outside of Jerusalem, to assist her cousin who was also in her old age, pregnant with child. She was going to be the mother of John the Baptist, a forerunner to the Christ. But what constitutes that visitation? Because I say so often that the gospel is rewritten in every generation, just as new characters in the story. And so nothing is frozen in the pages of sacred scripture. But to experience, to really truly experience the depth of that encounter is something that is comes in simplicity, in humility, not in the the fantastic or the manipulation of people's feelings, or that I could put on a show, or I've got to, you know, it's in the silence. Again, come away from the cacophony. The cacophony, the rude noise of the world, will not. Her asking for sanctuary, open the door so that in a humble way people can come away from this noise, and in a humble, quiet, peaceful, silent way they can perhaps open their hearts and allow God to begin to abide within them. All right, we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Sometimes in life, we are confronted with the tyranny of choice. I know, stop or go, hot or cold, up or down, this way or that way. You can contribute to Winds of Change, one way or the other. One way is to go to windsofchangeshow.com. Then click on Support Winds of Change Show in the upper right-hand corner of the page. The other is to go to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to make your donation, one way or the other.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
All human life is precious, and all humans are created equal, but not all vitamins are created equal. One company's vitamins stand taller than the rest. At For Life Vitamins, we promote health from the womb to the tomb and support the pro-life movement. Dr. Christosik created For Life Vitamins to optimize your healthy habit of taking vitamins and protect the health of unborn children, the infirmed, and the elderly by donating 10% of sales to support Father Bush's life-changing ministry. Go to forlifevitamins.com or call 888-879-1190. Dr. Christosik has helped over 13,000 patients reclaim their health with For Life's vitamins. Go to forlifevitamins.com or call 1-888-879-1190. Simply change your vitamin company and save a life. Go to ForLifeVitamins.com or call 1-888-879-1190.
Welcome back, everybody. I didn't get my button there, so I got to push that button.
We're back.
Welcome back. So today is the 10th anniversary of the opening of the Doors, and this was unapologetically, I say this, you know, because it was the... I always think of that woman, you know, I don't watch The View, but I saw it so often in some of these commentaries when Vice President Pence spoke about, he's a man of deep faith, mm-hmm. deep, deep faith, and they mocked him, you know, this woman on the View. Do you know who that is? I don't know.
I don't watch that program.
To me, it's useless.
They
played it over, especially in the last few days, in some of these commentaries on the hypocrisy of Hollywood and talk about the violence and the hypocrisy mm-hmm. and the, it's just this is part of the thing, you know, too. I think that the faith is just allows us to come away from that, to rise above mm-hmm. that stuff, because it's just getting really sickening. But she made mockery of he said something about as the Lord speaks to him or something. She said, the guy's mental because he says Jesus speaks to him. Or it's one thing to speak to Jesus, but it's another thing that Jesus speaks. Well, the Lord does speak to us. You know, that's the thing. He does.
That's another, and you've said it before, that's normal for the Lord to speak to us, the Blessed Mother.
Yes, you see, we live, our faith is lived in such a way that we're discerning always. Where mm-hmm. It's not perhaps like, you know, again, it's as I speak about the Blessed Virgin, how many mm-hmm. times has she spoken? But it, yeah, I can count on one hand.
Mm-hmm.
But those were, but again, I don't get excited about that mm-hmm. because it's normal.
It's normal. And it's subtle.
Subtle. But it's every day because we listen to we read scripture, we reflect on scripture, we go to mass, we pray, we see God reflected in his creation. We see God in good people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We see where God isn't. We see where God is. But the it's having that sensitivity, mm-hmm. I think. But in any case, our opening the door at the mm-hmm. call so that people can come away from the noise of the world, it's a very humble thing. So while we had a big opening celebration, our 10th year, well, while we thought about doing something, but we just... It's so many big feast days of hell. You know, we've had Easter, Divine Mercy Sunday. We're getting ready for Corpus Christi. It's going to be a big feast day as well. And so here it is, you know, and we've really planned nothing, but we're, you know, I think this is the way it's supposed to be, you know, because it's not anything we can brag about. It's just something that we have to create in obedience. We create the space and let God work. We're not here to manipulate anybody. But the visitation, if we can go back to the feast itself, And the purpose for these doors being open is for the purpose of visitation, for mm-hmm. the encounter.
Yeah.
When the Blessed Virgin Mary went to Elizabeth, she had just received the word that she was chosen by God to be the mother of the Messiah. And she said, let it be done to me as you have. First of all, she said, I don't know, how can this be since I do not know man? And the angel Gabriel said, but the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and the child to be born will be called a Son of God. He will be Emmanuel. And so she says, let it be done to me as you have said. And again, it was very humble, right? Very humble. And she went, because the angel also said, you know, your cousin Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a child. She who was barren has conceived because nothing is impossible with God. And so Mary went to Ein Kerem to assist her cousin in the pregnancy. And the meeting, the encounter was so beautiful because, and of course in those days they didn't have telephones or cell phones mm-hmm. or internet. And so Mary, the Blessed Virgin, made a very long trip really to from Nazareth to Ein Kerem. And when she got there, her cousin, St. Elizabeth, said, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For the moment your greeting reached my ear, the baby leaped for joy in my womb. Blessed is she who trusted, blessed are you who trusted that the Lord's words to you would be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the encounter, you know, the simplicity of it all. Mm-hmm. Mary, the Blessed Virgin Mary, had conceived, and so she, but before she even conceived mm-hmm. God in her womb, she had already conceived God in her heart. And so she was truly, Theotokos, she was the God-bearer. And so she brought God to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth recognized by the grace and the power of the Spirit, as Scripture says, by the power of the Spirit, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And so this call for to open the door is for the purpose of visitation, that God is reaching out. You know, Scripture says he's knocking on the door of our hearts, but will we open the door? And in essence, when you think about it, isn't that what we did? It's like, you know, God knocking on the door of the church. I mean, how many churches from Monday to Friday are locked? How many churches can you really go into? Mm-hmm. But so there was this, basically the call came as a knock on the door. Open the door. Open the door so that my people have access into this sacred space for this visitation, for this encounter. And so we opened the door. 10 years ago, we finally opened the door. And we've got stories. It's not like there are droves coming through. You know, it's just nothing that we don't have the weeping Madonna. We don't have, but we have, but we don't worry about that. This is very simple. What we do have a responsibility to do is to keep the place beautiful, to try to ensure that there's silence, not to fill it with a lot of noise, to keep it clean. And so in the restoration, because we had the means then to begin the restoration of the sacred space, it's conducive, you know, for this. It's kind of like a clean house, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're going to receive the pilgrim, the guest, the pilgrim. You know, I always say that, you know, because our church is right along the Kennedy Expressway. So while I began by saying we lost our neighborhood, mm-hmm. Or it's become missionary territory. But it's almost as if Our Lady said she's going to turn to the east, which means to the expressway. And the expressway, which wraps itself around the parish, really is a symbol of the pilgrims, right? People moving north and south on the Kennedy Expressway, that they would have easy access. They could come off the expressway and just turn a corner, and they're at the door of the church, the sanctuary. And this is the thing, as you well know, because you know better than I do, Christina, because you get the calls and people, but how many people didn't know why, but they're on the expressway and they just feel compelled to come off the expressway and to stop in the church and are shocked, or they realize that it was God who was calling them or waiting for them for this visitation, for this encounter. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so we don't worry about that. We don't worry about the numbers or anything. We just have to be faithful to the call. And so we celebrate 10 years of keeping the doors open. And not even knowing how we're going to able to do, you know, how can mm-hmm. we do it? How can we afford to do it? But we just trusted. And we've had the means to keep those doors open 24/7.
24/7.
So there are, you know, we have security during the night, but, you know, so today's, it's 10 years. 10 years today on the Feast of the Visitation.
How appropriate that it was on the Feast of the Visitation that our Blessed Mother came to visit St. Stan's with the Holy of Holies, with our Lord, and has stayed here ever since.
So as we come to the end, to bring us back to the beginning, and that was the iconic monstrance, mm-hmm. or Lady of the Sign, which is an image. We're done. Mm-hmm. But it is, it's because what is it she wants? But she wants to show forth,
yes.
her Son, mm-hmm. who's calling, and calling us by name.
Yes.
You know, you are my beloved Son. You are my beloved daughter. No matter how steeped in sin, I'm here for you to lift you out of the darkness into the light. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.